It's time for live high school sports on 1660 The Fan. Tonight, live from Schoolcraft, KVA football rivalry action as the Eagles play host to Constantine. Brought to you by Meyer. Meyer, where the math is always in your favor. By Romance Gardens, low prices, high quality, great customer service. By Bruce's Truck and Auto in Mattawan, better get to Bruce's. And by Edward Rose and Son, go to edwardrose.com today where you'll look for an apartment, but you'll find a home. Now let's go out to Schoolcraft High School and join Carolyn Binder for all of the action on 1660 The Fan.
High school football is on the air. Hello and welcome everybody to Schoolcraft High School, where tonight we're in the KVA for a clash of the Titans, where the Schoolcraft Eagles welcome in the Falcons of Constantine. These two teams own a storied tradition together as this matchup goes all the way back 60 years, their 61st matchup tonight here in Schoolcraft. They traded blows last season. It was the Falcons getting the last say, beating previously undefeated Schoolcraft and knocking them out of the 2012 postseason. The road to revenge starts tonight for the home team, and we'll hear from Eagles head coach Terry Hass coming up a little bit later. But first, I'd like to welcome in my broadcast partner for tonight's game, Robert Youngs. I am Carolyn Binder, and Rob, thanks so much for joining me tonight, and what a game we got here in front of us.
Absolutely, Carolyn. Fantastic night for football. The weather looks to be perfect. I happen to smell some wonderful food at the concession stand. The seats here on the home sideline are packed, and everybody's ready for a great night of football. A
couple of teams with big wins last week in the opening week of play. Constantine, 64-20 winners over Delton Kellogg, and Schoolcraft, a winner as well, 41-14, the easy put away of Parchment in week one. And now they face off here tonight with early playoff implications here in week number two of action.
Absolutely. You've got playoff implications anytime these two teams get together, and even in the playoffs, which is kind of a rarity in the state of Michigan with everybody going quite the distance for playoff with all the conference realignments, but these two know each other very, very well.
Both head coaches in their ninth year with Sean Griffith, the Constantine head coach, 82-18 overall. Terry Hass, 54-27, also in his ninth year. And these two teams getting set to do battle here at Schoolcraft High School. We'll get you familiar with some new faces. Both teams losing a lot of senior leadership to graduation last year. So new looks on both sides of the field. And we'll get to that after we hear from Coach after this timeout. This is high school football on 1660 The Fan.
If you could give your child a shot that would prevent cancer later in life, would you do it?
Of course.
In a heartbeat.
I wish.
The HPV vaccine can prevent many types of cancers, including cervical cancer, and it's been tested and ruled safe and effective by the FDA. The vaccine works best if given at the age of 11 or 12, but can be given up to the age of 26. Not all cancers can be prevented by the vaccine, but each year, 33,000 cases of preventable cancers are diagnosed in men and women in the U.S. If these people could go back and have the HPV vaccine, do you think they would?
In a heartbeat.
I wish.
For more information, visit michigan.gov/HPV or call 1-800-922-6266. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
1660 The Fan, your home for sports. Jim McKinney talking with Schoolcraft coach Terry Hass. Coach, it was kind of, as you said, a tale of two halves in your opening game with Parchment. First half was pretty good, and the second half was kind of interesting.
Yes, first half, the ball bounced our way. It seemed like, I think it was third play of the game. They fumbled, we picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown. In the second series, we stopped them on three and out. They punted, we ran back for a touchdown. So we were up 14-0 before we even played offense. And then I think the third series, they fumbled the ball. So then we took that down and scored, and it was 21-0, and it was still the first period. So, yeah, we got off to a good start, and then the second half, we came out and turned the ball over three consecutive times, which that's not a good thing. We need to fix that part of our game.
Let me ask you a little bit about Charlie Schultz. He had a game for the ages, I guess. They scored three different ways and three different setups, and he's proved to be a pretty good weapon for you in that initial game.
Yes, he is. I mean, he had a great game. He's a playmaker for us. And, he was able to score on a punt return, on a pass reception, on a tip ball, and he also had a rushing touchdown. So, yeah, he's a very versatile player, and we expect him to make a lot of plays for us this year.
Talking with Coach Terry Hass of the Schoolcraft Eagles, open up your home season tonight against a team that you're very familiar with, and it's a big rivalry with Constantine. And they're coming in with what appears to be another Constantine Falcon staple, and that is not one, not two, but three running backs that can get to you.
Actually, they have four. They have a quarterback that can run as well. He broke a 92-yard run against Dalton. So, yes, they're a little bit different team than what they had last year, but they just kind of reload. This team has got more speed than what they've had the last few years. They're not as big at the line of scrimmage, but they make up for their lack of size with their speed and quickness. And all four of their backs can score from anywhere on the field.
This is an incredible rivalry, of course, in the Calms Valley Association, not just in the regular season, but also in the playoffs. Last year, you split the two games. You won the regular season game, but then lost in the playoffs. What do you have to do tonight, Coach Hass, to beat the Falcons?
Well, we have to protect the ball. We can't turn the ball over like we did the first game. We had four turnovers the first game, and if you turn it over in a big game, you really put a lot of pressure on your defense. So we certainly have to do that. We have to eliminate the big play from them. We can't give them a 92-yard run like they got the first week, and they had several other long runs. So we have to make them drive the field on us, once we get the ball, if we can control the clock a little bit, that would work in our favor as well.
Does it help when you're opening up the season like this against a rival like Constantine that you get to play it at home?
Absolutely. We love playing at home, and we think that that's a benefit for us. Being at home.
Well, the 1660 game of the week is at Schoolcraft tonight as the Eagles play host to the Constantine Falcons, and so we'll be up in the press box watching all the action. Coach Hass, we appreciate the time you've taken with us today, and we wish you the best of luck tonight.
Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll give you a good game tonight.
You'll probably get into a peck of trouble with the zookeeper, but a great way to protect the bed of your truck would be to skin a rhinoceros and line your bed with the hide. Hi, this is Bruce from Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories and Rhino Linings in Mattawan. A safer alternative would be to have a spray Rhino Lining bed protection into your truck. This stuff is tough, and it's sprayed on up to 1/4 inches thick. Rhino Lining comes in a variety of colors and comes with a lifetime warranty. Rhino is the number one name in spray and bed lining, and we are the number one people in the area for quality auto and truck accessories. This makes for a pretty good combination from which you can benefit. Call us at 668-4511 for a quote or stop on in and see us. We are only 1/4 mile north of I-94 at exit 66 in Mattawan. Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories, better quality, better service, better get to Bruce's. If you try option one, please forget that it was my idea.
Jalen Binder and Robert Youngs rejoining you from Roy Davis Field in Schoolcraft, Michigan for the 61st meeting between the Schoolcraft Eagles and the Constantine Falcons. As we mentioned, just a story rivalry, Robert, between these two teams, the 61st meeting, and two really smash-mouth football teams about to take the field here tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Both teams like to run the ball, especially Coach Griffith and the Falcons with the wing T offense. They ran for 583 yards last week in their win over Dalton Kellogg.
And that's impressive because they got some new faces on that team. Justin Hall leads the way in that rushing game last week. Four attempts, 123 rushing yards, three touchdowns. And so he certainly circled on the depth chart for the Schoolcraft defense.
Absolutely. Anytime a guy stands out like that with a nearly 31 yards per carry average against an opponent, it doesn't matter who it's against, that's somebody you're going to want to key against.
On the other side for the home team in Schoolcraft, Charles Schultz getting it done. Nick Kaknacki is leading the way, though, for that running game for the home team.
Absolutely. Any football coach, though, will tell you it doesn't matter who pounds it in from the 1-yard line or from 99 yards away. As long as you're scoring and winning games, that's going to make a coach really happy.
The quarterback, Tom Hurst, not too shabby either, 4 for 900. rushing yards, or 100 passing yards, I should say, and a touchdown in their win against Parchment last weekend. And that senior quarterback is certainly a welcome sight for Coach Terry Hass on the sidelines for him.
Absolutely. You want to have that veteran leadership, a guy who knows the program, knows the schemes, and is going to lead the other guys all the way down the field to victory.
So we're getting set to kick things off here. Brennan Vaughn and the home team in the purple jerseys, the gold pants, the gold stripes, and gold helmets. They're getting set to receive the kick from Constantine. The visiting team in the white jerseys, red pants, white helmets, and red numerals. Nick West, also in a quarterback, set to kick things off for Constantine. And we're glad you're with us here on 1660 The Fan for Constantine and Schoolcraft. A little squib kick to get things started, and falling on it at about the 30, 31-yard line is Schoolcraft, and kind of maybe showing your cards a little early as far as your kicking game goes, because that was not what you call a traditional kickoff to start the football game.
Absolutely not. To start the game, you always like to see the big kickoff, and fortunately for Schoolcraft there, Carter Fowler there to pounce on it for the Eagles and keep the ball in the home team's hands.
Schoolcraft running right to left across your radio dial, spreading things out to start. Under center is Hurst. He'll send one in motion. Headed off up the middle and smashing through the line up to about the 35-yard line. So you got a hold of that. Nick Kaczmacki, the senior running back, to start things off. For Schoolcraft, they're missing the services of one, can't think of his last name, but Benny, I believe it was Benny Fowler, if I'm not mistaken, last year.
Benny Clark, BC.
Benny Clark,
BC3.
That's right. BC3, playing basketball as well, but a little pitch back and got some room for the running back up to the 40. Charlie Schultz, the ball carrier that time, and he is awful close to that first down marker.
Well drawn up toss play there by the Eagles. Solid blocking on the far side of the field. Third and short now.
With all in your faces for both of these teams, if you're going to go with one or the other, advantage-wise, Schoolcraft has a strong offensive line, and we're seeing that early on. A third and a couple of inches, the handoff goes up the middle, and easily for the first down is the senior running back, Nick Kaczmacki.
Everybody lined up here in the power eye for Schoolcraft. Everybody followed their blocking assignments, and it's a first down for the home team.
And mixing things up well is Terry Haston. The Schoolcraft offense here, we've seen a little spread. We're looking at the power eye for the easy first down. And three plays to a first down, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, you want to be diverse so the defense doesn't pick up on any patterns.
10:40 remaining, opening quarter on first down. Run right up the middle again. See that power eye to the 50-yard line. Charlie Schultz that time on the carry.
Maybe just a hit of misdirection there, but either way, great quarterback fake, and it's a big pickup for the Eagles.
They'll mark it right at the 50, second down and 5. Just under 2 minutes into this opening quarter, and another different look behind the quarterback that time, and sniffing it out with a defensive line for Constantine. Blew that play up a little bit.
Yeah, Sawyer Brown right there to meet quarterback Tom Hurst of the Eagles, and now it's going to be a 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7.
So loss of one will bring up the 3rd down and 6, 9:42 remaining, and the first test early on here for the home team. A three-back look. They'll spread two receivers to either side of the field. Send Schultz in motion. They fake the handoff and try to get a little draw play for a little quick out to Kaczmacki and overshot him with the quarterback, and so they're going to have to punt the ball away. But I liked a lot of what I saw early on for the Schoolcraft offense, just not able to sustain after the first couple of easy running plays.
Yeah, in Kaczmacki's defense, the sun here is shining right at him over the press box here at Davis Field. But that's the play a coach is going to want to have made.
Justin Hall getting ready to receive the high booming kick of Tyler Schultz. That'll take a Schoolcraft bounce all the way to the one. And the Eagles down it inside the 1 yard line. And how about that? To get things rolling for your defense, you cannot put your defense in a better position if you're Schoolcraft. That was a beautifully orchestrated play, and they got a glorious home bounce.
Nice bounce there, great punt, and great hustle by Phil Pelton of the Eagles to get down there and help turn the field over for the Schoolcraft defense.
Phil Pelton, a senior, showing some speed to get down there. He plays basketball as well, part of that successful Schoolcraft basketball team from last season.
Randy Small does a great job with the program down here.
And so, deep in their own territory, inside the one-yard line, Constantine takes over. And that wing T, Nick West, opening some space on that line, but holding tough was the defense there for a minimal gain, still breathing down the necks of their own goal line is Constantine. And a gain of two will bring it out to the three-yard line, second down at eight.
That situation there, you just want breathing room.
Montoya takes the snap, trying to open some space, and they do. Off to the races, here we go. 40, 30, 20, 10, and he is gone. With a... I didn't see who got the ball at the line of scrimmage. Hall was in there, Montoya was in there, and who ended up with it?
Folks, that was Matt Hasbrook, the quarterback, keeping it for 97 yards on the Constantine touchdown. And what's surprising about that is he actually was hit by the backside pulling guard, and I thought that play was going nowhere, but he busted it and just turned down the jet.
Yeah, it looked, and it fooled me because it looked like Montoya was going to end up with the ball. The defense pulled that way, and then here comes Hasbrook out of the pile. And the Falcons going for two after getting on the board. Hasbrook pitched back up the middle and into the end zone. Justin Hall getting it done on the pitch, and the offensive line holding tough for the two-point conversion. Now, the Falcons take the 8-0 lead, and what a blow to the defense for Schoolcraft after having them deep in their own territory inside the 1 yard line. The first play from the line of scrimmage was successful for the defense, and then it blows up after that.
Absolutely. He had a great punt. They turned the field over, and the defense has got to be feeling good. But on the other side of the coin, that is what the Full House T offense is built for. It's built to get you long gains, long touchdowns, and to just turn the game into your favor in the drop of a hat.
This Constantine offense has lost some size, but I guess that's the advantage of the wing T. You can pretty much plug anybody into any position and still find success. Constantine finding success early here. On the road in Schoolcraft, they had the 8-0 lead, 8:29 remaining in the opening quarter, and the advantage squarely on the shoulders of the Constantine Falcons. Now Nick West on to kick this away, and answer time for the Eagles. Another squib kick rolls up at the 40 and rolls across the 42 out of bounds. We'll get a flag on the play.
This will most likely be free kick out of bounds against the Falcons.
And a couple of times we've seen where Coach Griffith does not show confidence in his kicking game because, well, I mean, you go for two, of course, if you think you can do it, but twice now on these kickoffs, they're just little short squib kicks, and it's giving Schoolcraft great field position. Now, first and 10, from their own 38-yard line. You can't ask for much more if you're Terry Hass and the Schoolcraft Eagles.
Yeah, great field position to start here.
three backs behind the quarterback, and he'll keep it himself, move forward across the 40-yard line. Cody Mickle on the carry. Ball marked at the 42-yard line.
Which would be your standard dive and two. They blocked it, and he got 7-8 yards. Great carry.
Checked at the 46. My apologies. Got to check my contacts. Three backs again behind the quarterback. On second down and two, they send the receiver in motion, try to send it up the middle again, and stuffed out by the Constantine defense on second down and two.
Great play there by the Constantine defense to blow that up. By the time quarterback Tom Hurst decided to pull it out and keep it, they were there and ready and waiting.
We'll mark it a loss of one. Back to the 45. Third down and three. Three backs behind Hurst. Send Kakmaki in motion. The pitch goes back to Kakmaki. He's going to try and find the corner. He does, but I think he's going to be just shy of that first down marker.
Hard to see on the far side of the field here. The shadow's starting to extend from the press box, but other than that, the field is still in complete sunlight here. And it looks like to be a yard short.
Check that. Charlie Schultz on the run. And, yeah, they are going to mark him short. Fourth down near midfield. So we'll see what
right.
The play is. Power
again.
On fourth down and one from the 47. Here we go. Straight up the middle. And I think they're going to be short again. Or maybe not. No, he burst through that line. As the initial hit was behind the first down markers.
Second effort there.
Josh Zimek with the carry, and great second effort because when the initial hit was made, it was definitely short. And then he flipped through under the line for a first down, and this drive stays alive for Schoolcraft near the 50-yard line. We'll mark it at the Eagles 49, first down and 10, 6:58 remaining opening quarter. The Eagles down 8-0. As Schultz goes in motion, they fake the handoff, wide open in the flat for Kakmaki. And they tried to do that before, didn't pay off. This time it does. First with the strike.
This time Kakmaki turned and looked, and the ball was right there. They didn't get it the first time, but they tried to play again, and it was wide open for a first down.
A couple of yards after the catch, we'll mark it up to the Constantine 38-yard line. For a first down, 6:46 remaining, and that's good to see for Schoolcraft, see that early life in their passing game there when they need it. They're going to stick with the run, no doubt, though. As the pitch goes back to Kakmaki, he'll weave his way up to the 45-yard line.
Looks like Taylor Reese coming up from his cornerback spot there to make the tackle. Good recognition from the Constantine secondary to come up and make the play there.
Gain of two. We'll bring up second down and eight. Ball marks at Constantine's 36-yard line. First going pass all the way. Fourth one up and it's caught. On the sideline at the 11-yard line. Trevor Stoddard reaching up, the senior tight end on the receiving end of a floater. Knocked out of bounds at the 11-yard line, but again, the passing game paying off when Schoolcraft needs it. Now, just outside of first and goal, first down and 10 from the 11-yard line, and offensive life here for Schoolcraft. Kakmaki runs in motion, they'll get a sweep to the left side. And he had a hole, but he was tripped up near the 6-yard line.
Mullendor making the stop from his linebacker position for the Falcons. Great recognition, step forward. Head and shoulders across the body, and Kakmaki was going nowhere else.
They'll mark it at the 6-yard line. Gain of 5 brings up second down and 5. 3 in the backfield. for Hurst. And Schultz in motion, sweep to the right side. He sidesteps near the goal line and into the goal. Oh, touchdown. Into the end zone, I should say. Wow. He really sidestepped, and you thought maybe that big defensive line of Constantine was going to catch him, but he was able to just sweep the ball over for a Schoolcraft touchdown.
Yep. Running right over the right tackle and in there. And even though he's running inside, what we call technically, he made a great elusive play. And if you can be elusive like that, running between the tackles and then, you're going to have a lot of success.
Charlie Schultz with the 5-yard run, and now Schoolcraft going for two, trying to punch his way through Trevor Stoddard.
Looked to be just about a half yard there into a large pile of Constantine Falcon defenders.
And right on, as usual, this Constantine defensive line, very big, and that's why I thought that touchdown might have been short, but great second effort there. Not to be, though, on the two-point conversion. So with 5:12 remaining opening quarter, Schoolcraft on the board, but they trail 8-6. And even though they missed the two-point conversion, Robert, some great things happening offensively for the Eagles, and we even saw a couple of effective passes. Certainly not something they're going to go to all too often, unless the situation dictates later in the game, but using it when they needed it, and it helped them get in the end zone for a touchdown.
Absolutely. Using the pass a few times for first downs to stay on the field, keep their defense off, and give them a blow. And a great effort by Cag Mackey on the drive to keep his feet moving and pick up a first down, and it paid off, and they came back with six.
Brennan Braun on to boot this one away for Schoolcraft. Justin Hull lined up a line drive kick. Fielded at about the 10-yard line. Breaking tackles all the way up and moving across the field. There's a pitch out to the 50-yard line. Andres Montoya from Jose Lopez. And some trickery on that punt return by the Eagles, or excuse me, the Falcons will bring it up to midfield. And excellent field position now for Constantine at right at the 50-yard line.
Blake Zimick and Brendan Vaughn, the kicker, there to make the tackle for the Eagles, probably saving a touchdown. What could have been a touchdown, big tackle to make there in midfield.
So Constantine up 8-6. Three back look behind the quarterback goes up the middle and nothing doing. Andres Montoya with the gain of about one, it looks like they're going to give him.
Constantine looking for the fullback trap there, and the Schoolcraft linebackers were having none of it.
Second down and nine, just inside Schoolcraft territory at the Eagles' 49-yard line. Slithering his way up to the 45-yard line is Justin Hull. And Hull, a little more quiet than I thought he might be. And we're just still in the first quarter, so there's plenty of time for him to wake up. But Constantine spreading it out is keeping Hull a little more quiet than I thought maybe early on in this game.
Flags on the field. I think they're going to get the right halfback of Schoolcraft.
They're going to call
an early.
Nope. They're going to call a false start on the Falcons. Hasbrook looked like he hesitated on the snap, and I think that's where the jump came from. Mark it off 5 yards.
Any coach would tell you there's zero excuse for that, especially when all 11 guys are in such close quarters.
So you went from a third down and manageable to a third down in 11. back into your own territory. Handoff goes up the middle, and that is stopped immediately by a host of Schoolcraft Eagles. Tried to run a little more trickery and open a hole. And again, Schoolcraft having none of this. Gain of two will be well short of the first down. Fourth down and nine.
Usually on third and long, you can catch the defense napping with a fullback trap. Chad Marks. And Zach Mitchell on the stop there for the Eagles defense.
So they are going to punt it away as Constantine. Done with the tricks. A booming kick, and it hit a Falcon at about the 30. Someone up the field was not paying attention on that special teams play, but Schoolcraft is going to take over. Decent field position. Once again, they scored when they were near to their 50-yard line, and so they'll be on their own 28-yard line to start this drive down 8-6. See if they mix the run with the pass like they did on that last drive that got them into the end zone. First under center. They'll send Schultz in motion and give it to him. He coughs the ball up there. A huge hole for Charlie Schultz as he ran through that line, but heads up play by somebody on that Constantine defensive line, slapping that ball away.
Constantine says they have it.
Taylor Reif was up there to really, I thought Schultz was being a little lazy carrying that ball through. There was a huge hole, but Reif, the difference there was Reif just kind of grabbed it, knocked it out, and that's about as easy as a turnover defensively as you're ever going to want.
Yeah, the first thing a backs coach is going to tell you to go outside hand with that football. It was on the inside, and I don't know if it was a clean drop or somebody batted it away, but definitely a degree of carelessness there with the football. Now Constantine has great field position.
Some of the best field position you could ask for in Schoolcraft territory on the 33-yard line. That's where Constantine takes over first down and 10. A little mix-up at the line. Taylor Reif hit and driven backwards.
Textbook off-tackle wing T play there. Going to the left side over the left tackle and just didn't go anywhere. Wasn't going far with all those Schoolcraft defenders there.
They'll give him forward progress, gain of two. Nick Kekmecki in on the stop. Hasbrook with three backs behind him. The pitch goes out to Montoya. And it's dropped and stripped off to the laces. Picked up by Schoolcraft. And caught at the 2-yard line. Brennan Vaughn, heads-up play, so the team's creating turnovers. Brennan Vaughn was there to scoop up the Constantine fumble. Andres Montoya coughing it up. And now, great field position for Schoolcraft.
Carolyn, I don't think that ball hit the ground. Vaughn caught it in stride, and he was gone. There was nobody within 10 yards of him. He made a great play to get down the field. He doesn't get in, but the Eagles and their faithful here, hoping they can punch it in right off the bat.
First and goal from the 4-yard line coming up for Schoolcraft. Gotta imagine they're gonna run that power eye.
Power eye right.
Behind the quarterback, Hurst, sniffed out Josh Zemek with the carry. And good read defensively for the Falcons, who have to be absolutely deflated. They got a turnover. They forced the turnover. And then just carelessness on the other end nearly cost them on that play. Their defense is still alive, though. Second down and goal from the 4-yard line. Clock at 1:17, opening quarter. And the Eagles trying to take the lead. Pitch goes back to Schultz, right side. He flips the tackle to the corner and into the end zone. Touchdown, Schoolcraft.
Zach Sherman was right there for the Constantine Falcons. He couldn't make the play. Schultz made a great move to get away from him, and he just made a beeline for that far pylon. Touchdown, Schoolcraft.
Charlie Schultz from 4 yards out after the turnover and run back by his teammates. And to give them excellent field position inside the red zone at the 4 yard line. They are going to go for two here at 12-8. They take the handoff. The pass is caught. And it's good. So the successful two-point conversion, yeah, Trevor Stoddard is doing some quiet things but making big contributions early in this football game. And with the touchdown and two-point conversion, Schoolcraft leads Constantine 14-8, 103 remaining opening quarter, and a lot more life on this near sideline, a lot more life in the home crowd after what was a huge turn of events and a turnover for against Schoolcraft. They forced a turnover, nearly took it into the end zone. It was technically a fumble, but as you said, didn't hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And great ball control by Brennan Vaughn. And he just kind of ran out of gas as he approached the goal line. I don't think it had anything to do with effort. He was headed for glory and just got caught up and left it at the four-yard line, though, and his teammates did the rest. Charlie Schultz punched it in. The Eagles own a 14-8 lead, 103 remaining opening quarter.
Schultz looked to have a great gainer on that fumble. Could have been maybe a 15 or 20-yard run. Schoolcraft very fortunate to get the ball back and wind up taking the lead. Huge turn of events here.
Meyer, the presenting sponsor of high school football on 1660 The Fan. Meyer, where the math always works in your favor, and right now the math's working in the favor of the home team. They own a 14-8 lead as Vaughn prepares to put the right boot into this one. Another line drive spiral, bouncing at the 20, picked up at the 10. And flipping some tackles up near the 45, across the 45, near to midfield, was Andres Montoya. We're checking out Justin Hall, excuse me. So they'll have about 53 seconds to work with in this opening quarter. Phil Poulton on the tackle for Schoolcraft. And again, decent field position, but if you're the Schoolcraft defense, you got to be thinking, hey, we might be able to force another turnover like we did on that last drive.
Absolutely.
Three backs behind the quarterback. Keeps it himself. Hasbrook across the Schoolcraft 45.
That is eventually a play that every wing T team is going to show. They fake, everybody fakes all four backs in the backfield faking. Eventually they go to the quarterback.
So Poulton again in on the stop for Schoolcraft. And he stepped out of bounds just short of the first down. Second down and a short two coming up. Hasbrook under center. Three backs, and this time he goes to Montoya. He'll pick up the first down, minimal gain, though. Good enough for a first down.
Montoya gets the first down, but a great fake again. Taylor Reese appeared to have the ball, but it was definitely Montoya, and the great faking is the key to the lead to the offense. If they want to get back in this game, they're going to have to do that.
Constantine with 35 seconds and rolling here, opening quarter. They trail 14-8. The Falcons crack the board first. Pitch back. And again, a good fake by, and it's created by that wing tee offense. The pitch goes to Reese, and he rumbles up the far sideline.
nice toss play to the far sideline. The back slid it around, and then also guard Alex Miller out there looking for somebody to hit. Great play by the Falcons on the top sweep.
Gain of six brings up second down and four. Constantine using those sidelines effectively to use as much clock in this first quarter and keep the clock their friend, even though it's early. They trail 14-8. And off goes right side to Hall. Hall breaks the tackle, breaks three or four tackles up to the 10-yard line. And how about Justin Hall, who was certainly tackled, if not once or twice, three or four times by his feet and just escaping those tackles.
Absolutely. The wing T offense is designed to get the back past the linebackers without them knowing who has the ball, period.
Josh,
great effort there to get the big first down.
Josh Zemek in on the tackle. That will bring up a first down and goal when we return after the end of the first quarter. Schoolcraft, the home team, leads Constantine 14-8. We'll be back with the second quarter. Constantine driving. This is high school football on 1660, The Fan.
Tire is once again proud to present live high school sports on 1660 The Fan. Make sure you stop by Meijer for all of your tailgating needs. From all of the meat for the grill, to salads, to vegetables, to desserts, to everything you'll need to serve that food upright, Meijer has it all, and at prices that you'll love, because at Meijer, the math works in your favor. Make sure you stop by Meijer to check out the M Perks Club, and tune into live high school sports during 2013, brought to you by Meijer.
Miguel Cabrera, Max Scherzer, and the Detroit Tigers are fighting their way to yet another American League Central Division title. Don't miss a single score this season by texting SCORES to 80373. No need to fumble around the internet looking for that box score. We'll text it to you as soon as the game ends with the score and an interesting stat about the win-loss. SCORES is brought to you by CTS Telecom, your local connection to the world of voice, data, and internet. Text SCORES to 80373 to begin receiving your game scores today. Message and data rates apply. Text stop to quit.
Play. High school football on 1660 The Fan, brought to you by Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories. Better quality, better service, better. Go to Bruce's, featuring Rhino Lighting, Carol Binder, and Robert Youngs, rejoining you from Schoolcraft High School. It's the visiting team, Constantine, driving to start the second quarter as the run goes right up the middle. On a first down and goal.
Nick West there.
Nick West.
Stepping in for Hasbrook. Hit the guard again, but still managed to pick up some yardage on the play.
Nick West under center to start the second quarter. The sophomore, Matt Hasbrook, controlling the first quarter of action for Constantine, and West will stay under center as the handoff once again goes up the middle to Justin Hall. And he's into the end zone for a touchdown.
That is exactly what the wing T offense is designed for. The linebacker's definitely looking at Montoya from the fullback position, but the ball goes to Hall, and he practically waltzes in for a Falcons touchdown.
So pending the extra point, which we're assuming they're going to go for two, and then they line up like they're going to. It's tied at 14. Hall once again with the carry. And it is no good, so the score will remain tied at 14, and that could be huge moving through this game to instead of owning a two-point lead, and as these teams continue to trade blows, the game is tied, and so this is the first time that, you know, we've seen that not be successful for Constantine, and they could pay for that later on.
Yeah, just a little wrinkle there from Coach Griffith's team. We went with the unbalanced right, brought the tackle over from the left side, thereby making the tight end ineligible.
and they went with the off tackle, but it was going nowhere. They got just a half yard short of the two-point conversion, and Carolyn, like you said, that could come back to haunt them.
42 seconds into the second quarter. Constantine tying things up at 14. They trailed 14-8 as we started the second quarter of play. Punched it into the end zone from Justin Hall on the legs of Justin Hall. And he is certainly the horse of this running core, although they've displayed ability from a couple of guys that you got to keep your eyes on them, and that's really what the wing T offense does for you. But when push comes to shove, I think Justin Hall, if the game's in his hands, he's going to take it to the house.
Absolutely. Like I said before, you want to be diverse, especially in an offense where the defense does not know where the ball is going. It's up to the linemen and linebackers to read the helmets of the offensive linemen and figure out where the ball is going. And like you said, Hall is definitely looking to carry the load tonight.
Nick West with the boot picked up at about the 25-yard line, and good recovery by the Constantine special teams as it was scooped up by Brian Landis. Sawyer Brown on the tackle for Constantine. But again, decent field position here for Schoolcraft. Time for them to answer. In the second quarter, tied at 14. But if you're going to compare one to the other, I would say still the advantage and the momentum lays in the hands of Schoolcraft's offense. They just got to come out and answer that quick touchdown by Constantine.
Absolutely.
And a quick out and nearly danger as the Constantine defensive line was hunting down Charlie Schultz, and he comes off the field limping after the little quick out. He caught it right on his shoe tops.
I could see that from here, Carolyn. That was a backwards pass, so if he drops it, it's a live ball. And the being a former defensive lineman myself, you see a loose ball, it's like a buffet table waiting for you.
Loss of three brings up second down and 13. So not the first down play that they drew up, but a quick draw play right up the middle by number 12, Pete Schultz. And he picks up 12 yards and some more for the first down.
Hurst makes the right decision there to give the ball off, and a great rumble for a first down there.
Single back behind Hurst. And on the draw, all kinds of running room. Up the middle is the running back, Mickle again. Cody Mickle a couple of times on this drive, making some blocks. That time rumbling up the right side, and the offensive line that time giving him all kinds of room.
They showed the motion with Phil Pelton coming around from the left wing, motioning around behind Mickle, and the defense may have bit on that, and so another great run by Mickle for a first down, wide open, nobody within 10 to 15 yards of him until they closed in on him later on.
Cody Mickle, the senior running back, stands 5'9", 192 pounds, and going against an impressive defensive line like Constantine, using speed that time to run right side, and he saw the green in front of him. He took advantage of it and turned an adverse situation into a positive for his team. Timeout is called, but Schoolcraft will have it first down and 10 in Constantine territory at the 31-yard line. And so, again, they're passing some of the early tests, even though, Schoolcraft's had a couple of turnovers, but we haven't really let that bury them. We're at 14 off.
No, even in Class C here, you're playing a lot of guys both ways, but important here for Schoolcraft to see how long they can keep their defense off the field and get them a rest for those players who only play one way.
a storied history between these two teams. The 61st meeting here in 2013. Tom Hurst getting his troops set with the single back, and it again goes up to Mickle. He is spinning around the tackles near the end zone and into the end zone for a Schoolcraft touchdown.
Great block there by Trevor Stodder down by the 15-yard line, and just great effort there by Cody Mickle for an Eagles touchdown.
Cody Mickle, kind of the dark horse of this offense, because he's made a couple of blocks, and then the two consecutive carries where he's gotten some good blocks, but a lot of that, the yardage is due to his effort, and certainly that touchdown, he broke at least three or four tackles there to get into the end zone.
Yeah, everybody, coaches, fans, to talk about senior leadership and that leadership through example right there, making a great play for your team.
And our first wrinkle on the extra point, and it is that they kick the extra point as opposed to going for two. Brennan Vaughn's kick is up and good, and with 9:56 remaining in the opening half, Schoolcraft leads Constantine 21-14, and all kinds of energy going on Terry Hass's sideline right now, and that's a good thing to see. He paid his defense handsomely there with the touchdown, and now it's their turn to go out and get the ball back for their offense.
Absolutely. The Schultz fumble earlier, I thought, really deflated this home sideline. I don't think it was one of those vacuum tube situations where all the lights is gone, but things were definitely looking dim until the Vaughn fumble recovery out of midair in the long return thereafter.
As you said in Class C, a lot of guys doing a lot of different things offensively and defensively. Brennan Vaughn, certainly one of those. Cody Mickle in on that as well. But the offensive contributions of Cody Mickle paying dividends for home team, and Schoolcraft owns a 21-14 lead. 9:56 to go opening half. Vaughn lays a boot into the kickoff and right at the referee, who's standing near the 15-yard line. The kicking games for both of these teams really suspect, and we're mostly seeing it on the kickoff, but that could burn you as well.
Yeah, you want to have a solid kicking game if you can, and if it's not that solid, you want it to go down the field. Field is only 53 1/3 yards wide, and with a kicker, you want to keep that kickoff inbounds on a free kick like that.
Flag was thrown at the Constantine 20-yard line. Looks like they're going to tee this one up again.
Per National Federation rules, you can either take the ball at the 35-40-yard line, depends on college, high school, or pro, or you can elect for a 5-yard penalty and a re-kick.
And that's what we're looking at here, as Brennan Vaughn will tee it up from his own 35-yard line. And it surprises me that his kickoffs are that flat and that misguided, as he squibs it and it touches the live ball at the Constantine 30-yard line. Picked up there by Andres Montoya. He runs around a screen to the 46-yard line. And Brennan Vaughn, the kicker in that instance, with the tackle.
Another speedy Montoya in uniform for the Constantine Falcons. The Montoyas, great players for the Falcons over the years. And Andres definitely showing what he can do out there with his feet.
19 yards on the return, and the Constantine Falcons take over first down and 10. Again, prime field position for an offensive drive near the 50-yard line marked at the Constantine 46-yard line. First down and 10, goes to Hall, right side, nearly slips a tackle across the 50 to the 49-yard line. This is more of what we expected to see, with Hall taking a majority of the carries with Constantine trailing 21-14, certainly not time to deviate from the game plan. It's only a 7-point difference, but certainly expect to see Hull with more of the carries here as this first half winds down. And good defensive read on that play from scrimmage as Taylor Reese had no running room coming to the near sideline.
Like Carter Fowler and Brennan Vaughn in on the stop for the Eagles, limiting Reese to maybe a yard, yard and a half at best.
8:43 remaining, second quarter. Falcons have it just inside Schoolcraft territory at the 48-yard line. Third down and four, very manageable for this Constantine offense. Hull gets the handoff right side, and he squirms up near the first down marker. It looks like they're going to mark him just about a yard shy, though. And I think had he run north to south as opposed to more of the lateral movement that you saw once he got through that first line, he would have had an easy first down.
Absolutely. East-west might work for some offenses, but a wing-tee offense is definitely designed for that north-south downhill running style.
Clock running under 8 minutes. And fourth down and one, they punch it right up the gut. And that is a first down for Constantine. Paul again on the carry, and there's no surprise there. In a pressure situation, small pressure, fourth and one, but it's big because of the 7-point deficit for Constantine. And it paid off, giving it to their senior running back, Justin Hull, quickly back to the line with 7:46 and running. And it ties things up here as they're down by seven.
Montoya, the fullback there on the carry, brought down by Carter Fowler. Give him maybe definitely 3 yards now.
They spot it for a gain of just over the 40-yard line.
Instead of huddling, the Constantine Falcons looking to their sideline and then to their wristbands to play.
Interesting look with 7 minutes remaining in the quarter. As they fake the handoff on the quarterback keeper up the middle. And that was closed out nicely by Schoolcraft because all kinds of room had he stayed on his feet.
Absolutely. The quarterback is not something a wing tee offense is going to show all the time so they can keep their quarterback healthy and able to throw the ball, but it's a nice wrinkle if you need the yardage.
Still Carlton on the stop for Schoolcraft. They'll bring up a third down and two from the Schoolcraft 34-yard line. And again, a third down and manageable for this Constantine offense as the handoff goes. Montoya was a fumble, but it looks like he fell right on the football. We'll see what the call is.
Taylor Reese looked to fall right on the ball. Zach Mitchell was there and tried to scoop it up for the Eagles, but had official, the referee, indicating a first down for the Falcons.
Reese with some luck just because he did cough the football up, but he was being tackled as he fumbled the football, so able to fall on it.
Sometimes it's good to be lucky.
Better lucky than good. First down for Constantine at the Schoolcraft 31-yard line. Clock approaching 6 minutes remaining in the half. Take the handoff to Hull. We're going to see a pass attempt and not anymore. Sack is the quarterback, and he's hurt. That's Nick Weston under center.
Chad Marks and Cody Mickle on the quarterback sack for Constantine. Teams are not going to throw the ball too much.
And you see why that is, with that just blown up from the beginning.
Some wing T offenses are going to ask the quarterback to run down the line and make the throw, or in this case, drop back and make the throw
standing in the pocket, and the hometown Eagles just blew it up right from the start.
Second down and 21, ball all the way back on the Schoolcraft 42-yard line. Back to the running game goes the Falcons. Couple-yard gain from Montoya.
Kagmacki and friends in on the stop.
Gain of two brings up third down and 19. The confidence was in the Schoolcraft offense. Now it's in the Schoolcraft defense blowing up. I think that's the first pass attempt seen from Constantine in this football game.
Only one passing attempt last week as well.
And we see exactly why that is. We'll have a quarterback keeper, and the senior quarterback, Nick West, is going to be driven back. And it looks like that was a designed play, but I'm not sure, because it didn't look like the offensive line was ready to open that hole where he went, Schoolcraft taking advantage to push him back, and it's third and a mile.
Jack Bensley, 6 foot, 183 senior, among the Eagles in on the stop there. To me, it looked more of like a broken play. There should have probably been another person in to lead block for the quarterback, and it just wasn't there.
Fourth down and 19. Nick West lining up for the punt, and he fumbles the snap. A line drive kind of set up rolling kick through the end zone. And so again, we see the struggles of the kicking game for Constantine evident there. With 3:21 remaining in the opening half, Schoolcraft with the 21-14 lead will take over on their own 20-yard line. And all kinds of things clicking both offensively and defensively for the home team.
Absolutely. You get into a rhythm, and that's where you want to be. You want to be in a good rhythm. You want to be feeling good about being out there on offense, knowing that you've had success on previous drives. It's a big confidence boost.
Tom Hurst under center. Hands it off up the middle and fighting for yards. Like Zemek comes up.
Make Zemek on the carry.
Yeah. And he comes up hobbling after that play.
Not a lot of running room in the interior of the Falcons defense.
Gain of two will bring up second down and 8. We'll go to the air once again, overshooting his target, though. Trevor Stoddard trying for the pass, and just way too far, almost caught by the coaching staff here on the home sideline. But with 2:44 remaining, third down and 8, probably stick to the running game at this point and just try and hold this lead going into the locker room at the first half. See what they drop. They spread a wide receiver to each side on the quarterback. Keeper Hurst will move forward just a couple of yards, and I think that's really what they're just trying to do is play smart. They got the 21-14 lead with 2:35 remaining in the opening half.
Schoolcraft running the ball there to keep the clock moving, but Sean Griffith on the far sidelines for the Falcons having none of that and burns the timeout with 2:35 to go here in the second quarter.
Sean Griffith does burn the timeout. 2:35 remaining. Opening quarter. Schoolcraft owns the 21-14 lead. Carolyn Binder alongside Robert Young. Glad to have you with us. High school football on 1660 The Fan, brought to you by Edward Rose and Sons. You'll look for an apartment, but you'll find a home. Visit edwardrose.com today and stay tuned for our Romans Gardens halftime show. Recap the first half here from Schoolcraft. Get you some scores from around town. Other action happening in high school football week number 2, and a lot of intriguing matchups in week number 2. this one included in the mix, certainly something that Schoolcraft fans have had circled on their calendars since the playoffs last year, Constantine knocking them out of the playoffs, of course, and knocking them out of their undefeated season. So a bit of revenge, and I think they're glad to have it here on their home field.
Absolutely. These teams have been in the league title hunt ever since they joined in 2008, and no different tonight with league title implications on the line in week two.
Fourth and six, Brennan Vaughn will stand on his 12-yard line. A little bit of a high snap, nearly blocked. Got the kickoff, bounce at the 45, down at the 42. Blake Zemek downing the ball for Schoolcraft, and that's where Constantine will take over. They've got a short clock, though, 2:27 remaining opening half, and the way that they've moved the ball, they got to chunk some yards off on the ground because their passing game is certainly not in the mix here, at least at this point in the game.
Much like a spread offense where it's a quick strike and you get out of bounds, stop the clock, the wing T offense designed for the quick strike on the ground, but you've got to follow your blocking assignments and block everything appropriately to get those running backs loose. Unbalanced left here for the Falcons.
Nick Les under center. Pitches it left to Justin Hall. He broke through the first line. Had a little bit of running room, but he was knocked off balance and finally brought down at the 46-yard line.
Jack Bensley among others in on the stop for the Schoolcraft Eagles. Chad Marks also in that party.
Gain of five will bring up second down and five. Clock running under 2 minutes from the Constantine 48-yard line. A more traditional look there on the three-back look for Constantine. They bring it over the 50-yard line. Justin Hull with the carry.
Look like he may have gotten the first down here.
They're going to mark him just
short. To be honest, I'm quite surprised at that spot.
Me too. Third down and a very short one picked up there on the quarterback keeper by West over the 45 to the 44-yard line. Immediately called the timeout, moved the chain. 1:20.
For the Falcons, though, they've got to be happy that that spot didn't come back to haunt them.
No.
Easy first down.
Paul on the carry. On first down, he's tripped up just over the line of scrimmage. Travis Wyckoff in on the stop for Schoolcraft.
5'10", 214 senior.
Second down and 9, clock running under a minute, and time running out in this first half as with those Montoya, they faked it to Hall, and the entire defensive line went to Hall. He didn't have the football, but still a good defensive recovery there for Schoolcraft.
Absolutely. Those linebackers have been coached to not let anybody cross their face, and so when Hall crosses their face, they go with him. But like you said, good defensive recovery from the Schoolcraft linebackers and secondary on this side of the play to come up and make the stop.
Pick up a five will bring up third down and 4. The timeout called by Constantine is the clock is at 48.4 seconds. They're moving the ball well, but when you're only picking up 3 or 4 yards here or there, that's not going to get you into the end zone in that amount of time.
Yeah, you want to be able to pick up, I think any coach will tell you he wants to pick up 5 to 7 yards of carry. Week two, it's early. The defense is going to be ahead of the offense in terms of progression. 48.4 seconds left here in the first half. Hopefully for Constantine, if you're Falcon fans out there, you don't want to have to throw the ball, but that might have to happen to get into the end zone here.
48.4 seconds away from our Roman's Gardens halftime show. High quality, low prices, and great customer service are their specialty, located on Shaver Road in Portage, an important third down and four for Nick West and this Constantine offense. They take right, go left, and off to the races is Taylor Reed.
Fumbled the ball at the goal line.
He did. He fumbled. And
you're going to get a personal foul here for a late hit as well.
Salt in the wound for Schoolcraft as Taylor Reese blew through that defensive line and to the second level. He fumbled the ball at the goal line, fell on it, and then was consequently hit. So it will be Constantine touchdown. And
that was the one wrinkle they hadn't shown all night long was the counter. Like you said, faking right, coming back left, and instead of just bringing the guard around, the believe it or not, the tight end will come through and block as well. And that was at least a five-yard wide hole for Taylor Reed to run through. Nobody touched him.
Terry Hass calling a timeout now before the extra point attempt. And you have to believe, just looking at the Constantine kicking game, that they are going to try for two. It's trailed by one, though, 21-20.
And Constantine fans have not really had all that much to cheer for in the last 10 to 15 minutes of real time here. But when they announced the touchdown and subsequent personal foul, I probably could have heard them from 10 miles away as opposed to just across the field. They were excited.
Yeah, great crowd on hand. Gorgeous weather tonight here in Schoolcraft. And a decent football game as well.
Absolutely.
Of course, I'm kidding. It's an excellent football game. Just these two teams very evenly matched, but very different game plans on both sides of the field, but they're working together. And 21-20 our score, pending the extra point here. Of course, they're going to go for two. They line up as such.
No one balance this time. They've lined up standard.
Standard wing T. Looks like the quarterback keeper. And they marked it good. Call it good. It was awful close.
Coach Hass on the home sideline here is not happy with the call, but looks like he's not going to risk anything and just turn around and go back to the sideline here.
So if he converted 2 points, Constantine taking a 21-20 first half lead, and it's 1 point, but 1 point's all you need to win the football game, and that's a huge 1 point. We saw them miss an extra point earlier, and it was a 2 point conversion earlier in this quarter. Thought maybe that was going to come back and haunt them. They hung tough, gave themselves the opportunity here, down 21-14 to try and do something big. They did that on the legs of their senior running back, Justin Hall, and now with 40.3 seconds remaining in this opening half, they have a 22-21 lead.
Football coaches will always say in high school, you've got 48 minutes to go out there and win the game. And if you're not leading wire to wire, you've still got time to go and try and win the game. So it probably had to be part of the message for Coach Griffith on the far sidelines that this thing isn't over. We've made some mistakes, but you know what? Let's suck it up and go at these guys.
With 40 seconds remaining in the half, this half, I have a feeling, is far from over. I just have a feeling. As Nick West puts the right boot into the football, bounces at the 30, is picked up there, flipping some tackles near to the 50-yard line, over the 40 to the 42-yard line.
Alex Miller for Constantine, and also Jeremiah Schrock dragging Vaughn to the ground after a great effort to flip a few tackles and get some extra yardage.
Constantine up against the clock on their last possession. Schoolcraft even more so with 31.8 seconds on the clock. Maybe a pass draws up a couple of passing plays to open this field for his football team. They had it first down and 10 from their own 42-yard line. Get a couple of good passes and you could be in business. Trevor Stoddard lining up to the near sideline right in front of his football team. They send one in motion and just go with the quarterback keeper. And that tells me they might just want to take this one in for the locker room at the half.
Under 25 seconds to go, 18-17 and counting. The offensive team, Schoolcraft here, is not required to snap the ball again. They have broken the huddle, and they look like they might just...
Looks like we'll have one more play with
a deep shot here.
Six remaining. Trevor Stoddard again on the near sideline to give off this to Blake Zimmick, and that's going to run out the first half. Constantine in the lead, 22-21, and could you have expected anything more or anything less here from this first half of play at Schoolcraft?
Absolutely not. Every time these two teams get together, be it present day here in the Kalamazoo Valley Association or for so many years in the storied St. Joe Valley Conference, whenever these two teams get together, it always seems to be in Donnybrook, and they always turn out to be instant classics.
And this one, from the beginning, was drawn up as an instant classic, just given the storylines, as if this matchup needed any more storylines. The results from last year with Schoolcraft taking the regular season matchup, and then when, I don't want to say regular season doesn't count, because, of course, Schoolcraft went undefeated, but when you're in the postseason and making a run as Schoolcraft was, to be knocked out the way that they were, that score wasn't even. I believe it was 41-27 was that final score in the playoff game last year. They certainly had a big chip on their shoulder coming into tonight.
Yeah, last year in the district final, Constantine almost rolled to a 40-27 victory last year. The Falcons scored on all but two possessions last year. They started up 20-0 with a huge lead. Senior quarterback Tommy Reed last year, who's now graduated, ran the ball for 16 times for a 142 in three touchdowns, one of which was passing. So not having to defend that now, it's got to be a good feeling for Schoolcraft.
A lot of new faces on both sides of the field here tonight, but at the half, it's the Constantine Falcons that own a 22-21 lead over the home team Schoolcraft Eagles. Let's pause now. 10 seconds for an ID. Pausing for a legal ID. This is high school football on 1660 The Fan.
The Huge Show, weekdays at 3 p.m. on 1660 WQLR Kalamazoo. 1660 The Fan.
At the half, Constantine leads 22-21. The Romans Gardens halftime show is next. This is high school football on 1660 The Fan.
Meijer is once again proud to present live high school sports on 1660 The Fan. Make sure you stop by Meijer for all of your tailgating needs, from all of the meat for the grill, to salads, to vegetables, to desserts, to everything you'll need to serve that food upright. Meijer has it all, and at prices that you'll love, because at Meijer, the math works in your favor. Make sure you stop by Meijer to check out the M Perks Club and tune into live high school sports during 2013, brought to you by Meijer.
Follow your Western Michigan Broncos all season long on Bronco Sports First at 1660thefan.com. Throughout the season, the Bronco Sports First team, led by Colin Windecker, will be providing in-depth coverage through blogs, video interviews, podcasts, and stream versions of Robin Hook's Bronco Review segment. Go to 1660thefan.com and select Bronco Sports First for schedules, info on the season, and tons more. Bronco Sports First is powered by Preferred Credit Union, Spirit of Kalamazoo, Tempo Vino Winery, Romance Gardens on Shaver Road, Smashburger, and Centricare.
Officials have their days. I'm John Johnson, and we'll talk about that next on MHSAA Perspective, presented by the Michigan Army National Guard.
I'll never forget,
that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going up to drop water on the fires. Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews. At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Since this commentary runs during the fall and winter sports seasons, its focus tends to be on things happening during those times of the year. But today we'll break that mold by giving some well-deserved time to a group we don't talk about enough and some significant events they were involved in over the past 5 months. Even though the games can't start without them, registered officials are the most underappreciated piece of the educational athletics picture. Each year, between 12 and 13,000 men and women sign up to help administer the games our children play. The old saying goes that every dog has its day, and it's true for officials. It just doesn't play out as publicly as the games themselves. Each spring, the MHSAA conducts an awards and alumni banquet for officials to honor between 200 and 300 individuals who have served school sports for 20, 30, 40, 45, and 50 years. It's a wonderful evening, and the small token of appreciation each official receives is nothing compared to the appreciation these officials show their partners, their mentors, and their families when they get a few moments at the microphone to introduce themselves. From those officials in the MHSAA Legacy Program who are still in high school to those whose service to school sports began in the 50s and 60s, they all get a well-deserved moment in the spotlight. It's truly one of the best things the association does all year long. And there was another special day this summer, unlike no other for officials in our great state. Officiate Michigan Day drew approximately 1,300 men and women to Grand Rapids to learn from the best officials from the business and from each other as a lead-in to the National Association of Sports Officials annual conference that would follow. One thing that has always impressed me about officials is how they're mostly on the same plane. The ref in the room at this conference who made the calls at the professional or collegiate championships in one sport was no better than the newbie you came to learn, or even the experienced high school official who would rather do nothing else than be around our kids on our local fields every day instead of with the entertainers that play at the collegiate and professional levels. I got an opportunity to talk with a number of folks attending the Officiate Michigan Day activities and ask them all a simple question: why do you officiate? Their answers all carried a common set of themes: to stay involved in the sport they love and which gave so much to them, so now it's their turn to give back, and because they love working with kids. And a few of them even said they'd spent too much time up in the stands being critical of officials and felt that the best way to deal with that was to become an official themselves. You can go to the MHSAA Sports YouTube channel to view their responses, some of which will soon be part of a public service campaign the association is launching to recruit officials. Officiating isn't for everybody. I know that. And for those of you who, for whatever reason, cannot make it onto the playing surface by being a registered game official, you can respect the efforts of these men and women who are doing what you are not, investing their spare time to really learn the rules, really learn how to apply them, and to get our kids to appreciate and respect the games they're playing. Join us again next time for another edition of MHSAA Perspective, presented by the Michigan Army National Guard, a production of the MHSAA Network.
Carolyn Binder and Robert Young rejoining you from Schoolcraft High School. It's halftime, and at the half, the home team trails Constantine by a score of 22-21. Certainly not expecting anything less from the matchup between these two teams. Quite honestly, the way that both the games in the first week for both of these teams went, I thought maybe we'd have a few more points on the scoreboard, but it started out with Constantine cracking the scoreboard first. Schoolcraft answered right back, both teams trading some fumbles, turnovers, and missed extra point opportunities with the extra field goal attempts really coming at a minimum in that first half. Both teams sticking with the two-point conversion, and a couple of times it worked, a couple of times it failed for both sides, and thus we have our 22-21 halftime score. This is the Romance Gardens Halftime Show. High quality, low prices, and great customer service are their specialty, located on Shaver Road in Portage. Time to look around the area scoreboard, and at the half, a halftime score from Coldwater. Portage Northern and Coldwater battling, and it's Pete Skirmerhorn's squad up 22-0, so Coldwater having all kinds of trouble with that Portage Northern squad. And, the Huskies expected to make a splash in the SMAC this year, and they're showing that off early in the season. And looking at some other scores as well, a first quarter score, or should be a second quarter score, Otsego up 19-0 on South Haven. Three Rivers and Plainwell tied in the second quarter at 7, and Battle Creek Central up 7-3 on Kalamazoo Central. And let me tell you about that Kalamazoo Central squad. They're a scrappy bunch. Dana Chambers has a young squad on his hands, but they're showing talent and they're showing heart. And they're up 7-3 in the first quarter over Battle Creek Central. You got some other scores for me, Robert, as well?
Halftime from Battle Creek, also in the KVA, the Battle Creek Penfield Panthers, looking to coast to a comfortable win, leading 21-0 against Parchment. A couple other of the Wing T teams in this league going at it tonight. And like we talked about, the league title implications, not only for Schoolcraft and Constantine tonight, but both of these teams are going to have to look at Penfield and Olivet later this season.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, of course, this matchup has its playoff implications. That goes without saying. But then you look ahead in the schedule and you see who's ahead. Certainly not out of the woods. Whoever wins has the leg up, but then you still got Penfield and Olivet staring you down.
Absolutely. Olivet and Penfield are in their last seasons in the KVA. This is Penfield's 23rd season and final season in the KVA. Olivet has been in the league since 2005, and they're leaving for a conference in the Lansing area. So both of those teams, looking at an exit next season, I'm sure they both want to go out on top if they can.
Both Schoolcraft and Constantine with easy wins last week in week one. Parchment on the wrong side of a 41-14 score against Schoolcraft. Constantine all over Dalton Kellogg, 64-20, so this the first early season test for both of these teams. I'm not good at math, but Robert did some math for me before the game. An average victory, margin of victory, 35.5 points, and that's why I'm looking at this score going, okay, yeah, there's three scores for each team, so that's quite a lot of points, but at the same time, you look at these two scores, and that just tells you how dominant both of these offenses and defenses are at the same time.
Yeah, defense wins championships, but on the other side of the coin there, if you're in a dogfight and you want to win the game, it doesn't matter. You're going to air it out for 600, 700 yards if you have to and try to score 60 points just to win a game. Sometimes at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, is just winning the ball game.
And the turnovers that were committed kind of helped and hindered both teams because they both made a couple, and those, though, are going to be key moving through into this second half, especially if the score stays this close. Those turnovers are going to be magnified by, you know, exponentially the effects of them. But turnovers ending up helping both teams, even though to start, obviously, it's not what either team has drawn up. And the other thing I think we're looking for in this second half, especially for Constantine, I mean, they're coming out with a one-point lead. Their kicking game has struggled, and their kicking game is going to struggle. I think that's something that you just kind of cut your losses if you're Coach Sean Griffith. For Constantine, the other thing, though, is how is the passing game or the non-existence of a passing game for Constantine going to hurt? Because last year we were here for a couple of times in a couple of close games where Schoolcraft, who has used the passing game a few times, albeit very effectively, really turned up the jets in the fourth quarter with the pass. And if they were trailing, all of a sudden, there goes a 14-point lead, and both times, I think, I remember one game against Olivet. They were trailing, I think, by 10 heading into the final quarter, and they really went strictly past. They ended up winning the football game.
Absolutely. If you're a football team, you want to stay diverse. You want to be able to throw the ball and keep the defense honest. But if you can't, you do what the Falcons have done so far tonight in staying in this game. They've been diverse, running the ball. Most of the time it has gone to Justin Hall. But like we've seen, they've run the quarterback a few times. They've all, and the most recent touchdown that Taylor Reif ran in was on a counter. And that was the only time they showed the counter tonight. So if you're Coach Griffith, you want to save your wrinkles for when you need them, because that was a huge wrinkle. And like I said earlier, Mr. Reif had nothing but daylight in front of him. Green grass and a nice sunset here earlier. The sun is gone now, but it was a beautiful sunset.
And light shining over the field here at Roy Davis Field and Schoolcraft, Michigan. Both teams out on the field getting their halftime stretches in. And at the half, Constantine owns a 22-21 lead. We'll be back with more Romans Gardens halftime coverage in the second half after this timeout. This is high school football on 1660 The Fan.
We looked out from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question. Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college. In return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Being the middle child of 11 brothers and sisters, I grew up with a bit of an identity crisis. Now, which one are you? Was a question I was often asked. It seemed everyone, even my mother, would get my name wrong. Hi, this is Bruce, and we sort of have the same problem at Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories and Rhino Linings here in Mattawan. Some people have us identified as only a hitch store, or others as only doing auto starts or running boards. Just assume we do it all. If your vehicle doesn't have an option, chances are we can supply it, whether it's a cruise control, heated seats, compass temperature mirror, spray and bed liner, tonneau covers, or hitches, we can do it. If it makes your car or truck more comfortable, look better, or make it last longer, call us or come in and let us give you a quote. Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories, 668-4511. We are just a quarter mile north of I-94 at Mattawan. Better quality, better service, better get to Bruce's. At least with my name on the business, no one calls me the wrong name anymore. No one, that is, except my mom.